You are Locked On Raiders, your daily Oakland Raiders podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Just win.
The autumn wind is a pirate, blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. His face is weather-beaten. He wears a hooded sash, with a silver hat about his head, and a bristling black mustache. He growls as he storms the country, a villain big and bold. And the trees all shake and quiver and quake as he robs them of their gold. The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won.
What's happening, Raider Nation? Welcome into another episode of the Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, January 15, 2020. No, it's not crossover Wednesday, but it is special edition, special guest edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segments 2 and 3, you'll be hearing from Mick Akers. He's from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, talking all things Allegiant Stadium, talking all things Las Vegas Raiders, everything that the city is doing, the draft coming up in April. What's going on with the city of Las Vegas as they prepare for the Raiders' arrival in, it's starting March 18th when the city actually officially becomes the team, the city team, the city name of the Las Vegas Raiders. That'll happen on March 18th. Anyway, you'll hear from Mick Akers in segment number 2 and segment number 3 on today's show. And today's show is going to be a special show. And the reason why, Raider Nation, is because I told you I was going to do one show at least this week where I do two episodes, two discs. I like to call them two discs. Disc A, disc B. Like back in the day when you're a rapper and you put out a double disc edition, that's what today's show is going to be. Wednesday's edition, I think it should be that. So what I'm going to do on today's show, segment number 2 and segment number 3, you're going to hear from Mick Akers, right? Here in segment number 1, you're going to hear news and notes of the day, and it's only going to be one piece of news because I got a lot to say about it. But then, on disc B, on the next edition of it, and it's going to still be today, later on today, actually, in just a little while, it's going to be some more news and notes in segment number 1, and then calls, straight off that Locked On Raider podcast voicemail line. I know a lot of people like to get their calls in, and I've been really, really backed up. Well, I'm going to get your calls in segment number 2 and segment number 3, but it's going to be on disc number 2, if that makes sense. So, you have a big show, a big loaded show. It's going to be 2 30-35 minute shows, which will equal about an hour, which we all know how the time restraints go on the Locked On Podcast Network. But look, I'm following the rules. I'm just putting out two episodes in the same day. So I think that this could help out. And again, I'm going to try to do this like once a day and try to catch up on the calls because there's always a lot of good calls and I do enjoy getting to them. Also, yesterday, January 14th, I actually found out that, yes, the radio station, ESPN Central Texas, we will be at the Super Bowl in Miami. Actually, I've been there on my honeymoon. We went into Fort Lauderdale, and then me and the wife, we actually took a taxi or took a ride into Miami, but it was real rainy. It was real ugly. Anyway, we're going to be in Miami. ESPN Central Texas will be in Miami for the Super Bowl. I'll be flying out on January 26th, and I'm actually going to the game. Last year in Atlanta, I was at the game, and it was a good time, really good time. I was blessed. That was the very first time that I was actually at the Super Bowl game. Well, this year in Miami, I'll be at the Super Bowl again. I'll be covering it for ESPN Central Texas. So that's a blessing. I'm very, very excited about that. Cannot wait to make that happen. So, Raider Nation, your boy is going to be on the road again. And then after that, I won't be on the road again at all until April when the draft comes up in Las Vegas. So yeah, that's exciting. So anyway, let's go ahead and jump into today's episode. And I think the biggest news of the day for the Raiders on Tuesday was the fact that John Gruden fired Brenston Buckner, the defensive line coach, and hired Rod Marinelli, his longtime buddy Rod Marinelli. And so initially when I saw this, Jim Trotter was the first person I saw that actually reported this. It blew my mind because Brenston Buckner is a guy that I've sang his praises. He's done a really good job. He did a really good job with a very young defensive line. He really kind of showed them what they needed to do and didn't allow them to have any excuses. Just said, hey, go in there and make it happen. But John Gruden saw the opportunity to upgrade the defensive line coach and brought in Rod Marinelli. And so that's what he did. And again, I was just blown away when I saw that. I was like, there's no way that Brenston Buckner. And look, I'll tell you right now, I'm not really happy about it. I'm really, really not. I'm not happy about the firing of Brenston Buckner because I feel like he was a young dude on the come up and he was a guy that really had a lot of value on the team and on the coaching staff. And I feel like there could have been a place. Now let's be honest about the situation. Rod Marinelli's been in the game for a long time. He's a real good defensive coach. I mean, he really is. He worked with John Gruden in Tampa Bay when they won the Super Bowl against the Raiders. He was really, really good. He ended up getting a head coaching job in Detroit. He was not very good. He's not a good head coach, but he's a really good defensive coach. Really is. Defensive coordinator, he's great. He did some big things in Dallas. I've talked to him multiple times. He really helped out that Cowboy defensive line. And then when they brought in Chris Richard, he actually turned over the play calling to him and said, hey, you know what? No worries. I'll still be the defensive coordinator, but you can call the plays. I mean, he's a guy that's not worried about his ego being stroked. He's not that guy. He's just a damn good coach. I mean, he really is. So honestly, the Raiders upgraded at defensive line coach with Rod Marinelli. And I'll tell you another reason why they upgraded, but I just don't like the fact that Brenton Buckner had to be fired. I feel like he could have probably been put in another position. I honestly, even though I talked about continuity and thought that, you know, the Raiders need to keep Paul Gunther as a defensive coordinator, I actually would have felt better if Paul Gunther had got fired instead of Brenton Buckner. I would have felt a lot better. I actually would have said, hey, you know what? Put Rod Marinelli in as a defensive coordinator and let Brenton Buckner be the D-line coach still, because Rod Marinelli is going to get you right. He's going to get you where you need to be. So I was a little disappointed to hear that, but the other reason why Rod Marinelli was brought in my opinion, this is just my opinion, is just in case Paul Gunther does not get it right. I feel like the Raiders are really going to address the defensive side of the ball this offseason. The draft, free agency, all that. And if Paul Gunther still can't get things right, he'll be gone. And now that they have Rod Marinelli in the fold, he will be the guy who ends up being the defensive coordinator, because again, he's got a lot of skins on the wall. Is he 70 years old? Is he a little bit older? Yes. I saw a lot of people talking about his age on Twitter. It has nothing to do with age. He's a damn good defensive coach. I mean, he really is. A damn good defensive coordinator. I'm not mad at the hire. I just, again, thought that Brenton Buckner, being a young dude, really had an opportunity to grow as a coach in the league and thought that he could really help out the Raiders. So Brenton Buckner, who did some really good things with the Raiders defensive line in 2019, he's out. Rod Marinelli, longtime defensive coordinator, longtime defensive stud, he's in. He's going to do some good things with the team. But I'll tell you right now, man, Brenton Buckner, he was caught off guard. He really was. Vic Tafer put out a tweet. Brenton Buckner was surprised when he got the call today. The fired defensive line coach said Gruden told him, I need to make a change. I need to make room for somebody. It was nothing you did, and I thanked him for the opportunity. That tells me right there, John Gruden's thinking ahead. And you can't get mad at that. A lot of people get mad at John Gruden for what he does. You can't think and you can't get mad at what he's doing by thinking ahead and saying, you know what, Paul Gunther may not be the guy, the end all be all, the defensive line coach, and I may have to make a move mid-season in 2020, because he knows it's got to be right in Vegas. He knows if the playoffs are not there, then there's a problem. If they don't make the playoffs, there's a major problem. And I talked about it in great length on Tuesday's show, that they need to shave off about 7 points that they give up per game. They shave off 7 points per game. They're cooking with grease, as I like to say. So that was the first part of it. You know, Brenton Buckner did nothing wrong in John Gruden's eyes. He just needed to, as in his words, make room for someone. Also, Brenton Buckner on Twitter said, God doesn't make mistakes. When he decides my time is up, I don't question it. I was blessed to coach a great group of Raiders. I had the pleasure of experiencing Raider Nation. I'm appreciative for Gruden for blessing me with that opportunity. Hashtag faith before fame. I love, no hate. So Brenton Buckner gets it. He knows what it's all about. And look, this is what it is, man. I mean, I've said it before in the industry that I work in radio, which is a very, very tough industry. And you know what? On Tuesday, there was a lot of casualties in radio. If you know anybody who may work in a radio station and they work for iHeartRadio, which used to be Clear Channel Radio, which back before that was AM FM radio, a lot of people got released and laid off on Tuesday. And it's really, really, it's the ugly part of radio, man. It's not the most stable position. You've got to be a guy that could do a multiple positions, and not just a guy or a female could do a ton of positions to make sure you maintain your spot. And that's why I've been blessed to have the longevity that I've had in the game. I've worked for many different radio stations, but I've been doing it since 1999, and it's not easy. But I tell you all the time that I've never ever received a job that I applied for. All the jobs that I've received has been by association, by relationships, and that's just how it is. And look, on the National Football League, in the National Football League, it's no different. Now, obviously, it's on a higher level, and they make a lot more money than me, but it's a relationship business. John Gruden and Rod Marinelli have a great relationship going back to Tampa Bay when they won a Super Bowl together. So when he was a free agent, look, he was going to be a guy that John Gruden wanted to bring in before, but he couldn't get him away from Dallas. You saw that he was able to get Rich Bisaccia away from Dallas as a special teams coach and assistant head coach. He brought him in to the Oakland Raiders, but he wasn't able to get Rod Marinelli away because, well, Dallas liked him because he did some good things, so they weren't going to let him go. Well, once they hired Mike McCarthy as their head coach, got rid of Jason Garrett, all of a sudden, Rod Marinelli was available. I would not be surprised, Raider Nation. I'm not starting no rumors or anything. I'm just going with the gut feeling, which is what I always do. Would not be surprised to see Chris Richard come over from the Cowboys to the Raiders as well as a secondary coach. He's done some good things in Seattle. Did some really good things the first year he was there in Dallas. Last year, not so much. But I think Chris Richard is a young coach on the come up, and I would not be surprised to see him join the Silver and Black at some point as well, just because he has that familiarity and he has that relationship with Rod Marinelli. Again, it's about relationships. It's a relationship type business. So unfortunately, Brinson Buckner is no longer going to be in the Silver and Black. That's a hell of a coach that somebody's going to get. Some team's going to get fortunate and get this coach, and he's a young dude on the come up that's going to make it happen. He's got that will. He's got that work ethic. He's got that energy. He's a good dude. All support goes out to Brinson Buckner. Like I said, I think he's a really, really good dude, and I definitely know guys like that, they land on their feet. That's just who they are. That's just how they're cut. So Brinson Buckner out, Rod Marinelli in. Raider Nation, is it an upgrade? Yes. Is it kind of a tough pill to swallow? Absolutely. Are there going to be calls and thoughts on it? Absolutely. When I get to the calls in segment number two and segment number three on disc number two or episode number two of the day, you're going to hear a lot of people talking their frustration. I got a lot of texts. I got a lot of tweets about Buckner being out. You'll hear that frustration coming up on disc number two, on episode number two of the day. You'll hear that then. Coming up next, my conversation, part one of my conversation with Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, talking all things Las Vegas Raiders, Allegiant Stadium, and more. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Joining me now on the phone lines to give us an update on Allegiant Stadium, the Raiders' new home stadium in Vegas. It's set to open, scheduled to open in July of 2020, is my guy Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review-Journal, and you can find Mick on Twitter at Mick Akers. And I've seen a lot of pictures, videos, flyover drone images, all that good stuff of the stadium, and it looks like it's coming along nicely. So from a guy who's been boots on the ground, up close and personal with it, how is Allegiant Stadium looking to you? Is it as beautiful in person as it is in pictures?
Yeah, you know, as more glass is installed around the whole stadium, you know, it's starting to come to life a little bit more, looking more like the renderings. Say it's about 75% covered now with glass. I think it's going to be done by, I'd say, the end of the month or early February. So, you know, all this, the features going on in the front, you know, it's kind of bringing out the personality. A lot of people are calling it the Death Star, you know, kind of with the Star Wars theme. So, you know, it's getting its own nickname already. You know, a lot of people are getting excited, you know, just seeing the actual stadium, you know, come from the ground, from, you know, a bunch of metal pieces hanging out, you know, to this stadium, you know, looks like an actual stadium now.
I'm glad I have you on now as opposed to last week when I actually first reached out to you, because I've seen reports from multiple people, including yourself, that there's a delay now installing the roof on the stadium. One, is that a reason? What is the reason for the delay? And two, how much do you think that will or could affect the stadium being finished on time?
So the reason is a couple of bolts on the cable net roof system. It's a bunch of 100 cable nets going across. It's going to hold up the roof. They broke. I guess there was some tightening issues. There were too much tension on them when the workers up there were tightening them. So it snapped. Nothing dangerous underneath. They halted the work for a day, went through and made some adjustments. So they kind of just been hanging out there. They call it not on the critical path, which means, since once you're done with the roof, there's nothing else that you do with that part of this, you know, of the work. So they paused that now. They have it raised enough to where they're doing all the work underneath inside the stadium. Like, they completed the precast stadium where they're going to put the seats. They're pretty close to finishing the track system for the retractable field. Looks like it's the railings on that. There's 12 railings on the ground. It looks like those are all pretty much done. So they're going to focus on the outside. A lot of the, you know, just stuff around the suites, they're doing some of the initial suite work, interior bathrooms, concession area. So some of the stuff, you know, that they meant to do a little bit later on, maybe in the spring, they fast-forwarded on that, and now they're getting that done just to make up, just in case, you know, the roof issue goes a little bit further than they thought. So now it's looking like May now. So they say it's not going to affect the July 31 date. Obviously, if it rains, there could be some damage, especially with some finished product inside there. But Don Webb told me the whole stadium is outfitted with the certain kind of a plaster wall where it actually can absorb some moisture. So that shouldn't be an issue. But like I said, the stadium is going to be pretty much enclosed with glass here in the next, I'd say, 3 or 4 weeks. So just the opening on top, so where they're going to get in, obviously can hit some of the stuff, but it's going to be pretty well covered in, you know, the very top of the roof's not going to be in yet.
I feel like that when we talked last year, we were talking about a situation where they had to change like course of direction and work on some stuff on the inside because they weren't able to do some stuff on the outside. Is it the same kind of feel that, you know, they have to work on some other stuff and some other issues or areas may be damaged, but at the same time, like you said, they think that everything's going to be okay?
Yeah, that was with the steel delivery. That was in the spring.
That's right.
Like I said, they fast-forward some stuff there, and then no glass was on there, so it was a little bit more at risk for some weather. Luckily, you know, nothing occurred there and then. But, yeah, it's, you know, there's kind of one of the benefits of having a design-build project where you kind of, you know, as you're going, you're still designing and you're still building. It's not a set project where you have everything down to the wire and you have to do it by the schedule. This way allows them to adjust when they need to, and looks like, you know, it's paid off with these two, you know, possible delays, which they worked around.
You know, I saw the other day about Cox Media and how they were going to be basically the stadium was going to be like state of the art, and there was so much fiber optics being put into it, and the Wi-Fi was going to be incredible. Just what has Cox Media meant to Allegiant Stadium, and what are some of the features that they're going to have?
Yeah, so, you know, they announced them as one of their founding partners, you know, a few months ago, but now they come through and they're kind of giving you, you know, here's why we're going to be one of them. Looks like they're going to have around 17,000 Wi-Fi access points. It's going to be backed up by 40 gigabit optical internet connection, which, you know, redundancy, obviously, there's going to be 65,000 people in there, and they want each one of those people, you know, to have some, you know, quality internet access. A lot of, you know, obviously people are going to be doing, you know, social media posting, right. Instagram, Twitter, and all that. And then also they're going to have some in-game interactions they're going to want to have with the fans. So obviously you want to have some of the you know, the best internet available. So once this, you know, stadium goes lit, it's going to be the most connected stadium. There's also 2,200 screens throughout the whole stadium. So obviously you need some internet to go through that. So, you know, there's so much stuff that relies on internet these days. The Raiders were, you know, pretty adamant they wanted to be prepared, not just, you know, now, but for future use as well.
Talking all things Allegiant Stadium right now, the new home of the Raiders when they touched down in Las Vegas in 2020. I'm with Mick Akers right now. You can find him on Twitter at Mick Akers. And look, PSLs, personal seat license. I've never been a big fan of them, but I understand them. You know, I absolutely do. And from my understanding, they're about 99% sold so far. They may be sold out 100% at any time now. How much money have they generated as far as those PSLs go? And what are they putting that extra revenue to?
Yeah, so far they've raised $478 million, which is nearly 92% above what they budgeted, $250 million initially. So obviously the sales are robust. I haven't spoke with Mark Bedane yet this week. I was just going to wait till Thursday at the Stadium Authority meeting. But I would assume that they're going to be sold out by then. He said there was over 99%. So I, you know, kind of lit the fire. I got a lot of emails and calls after that from people, you know, asking how they can reach out and get those. So I would assume those are going to be gone this week. So they're putting that extra revenue that they added some suites, that field level club that, you know, caught a lot of flack. A lot of people are complaining about the lack of a black hole because one of the end zones is going to have a club there. Obviously the south end, you know, that, you know, they can still, you know, build up the black hole,
right.
Which, you know, wasn't a designated area when they built, you know, the Oakland Coliseum. It just became it. So I'm sure the Vegas guys are going to have their own black hole here. Also upgraded fixtures throughout, some, art upgrades, internet, obviously, we just talked about that, went towards that as well. And then need some outside, you know, ticketing booths and all that. A little bit upgraded, look a little bit nicer, a little, you know, fresher feel when you get there to the stadium there.
You know, one of the things that we had talked about before was tailgating areas, and that was something that was real major in Oakland. The tailgate scene was outrageous. What is it looking like right now? I know that there's, like, different parking lots and certain areas of the city that have been designated for the Raiders, but how do you think that the tailgate situation is going to go in Las Vegas?
Yeah, so the Raiders, you know, to today, you know, they're still, you know, trying to gather some more parking around the stadium. Obviously, the attention's been, you know, to the lack of parking on site. But, you know, within walking distance, they're going to have over 9,000 spaces for people to park at, which any of them that are under Raiders control are going to allow tailgating. Also, off-site parking lots where people are going to shuttle in, tailgating also available there. there's going to be the space where the retractable field, when it's, you know, in place for the game days for the Raiders, they'll have a little tailgate area there, and then activations are all around the outside of the stadium, with working with some of their, you know, founding partners like Ford and such, kind of showing off their trucks and how they can tailgate with their trucks. So, you know, there's, I don't think there'll be a lack. Obviously, they're also setting up this parking co-op with the existing businesses around the area. I would assume, you know, some of those people allow some more tailgating there. So within a mile, there's going to be plenty of opportunities. Obviously, you know, people want to do it all on the site, but, you know, just with the modern day stadium being built in, you know, developed cities these days, you know, that's just not the case.
So the stadium's coming along. The completion date looks like it's going to be on time. There may be a few hiccups here and there, but it is what it is. So right now, as far as the city goes, how buzzing is it right now? How excited is the city of Las Vegas for the actual arrival of the Silver and Black?
Yeah, it's been a gradual ramp up. You know, a lot of people at first were kind of turned off, you know, with some of the tax money that went towards it, you know, since the time went on. And you've seen the Raiders, they've been in the community a lot doing, you know, events. They just recently, with the NFL, got $250,000 for Rancho High School here to put in a new field. They work in numerous charities around here. So, you know, they've made their footprint well beyond them, you know, been kicking off a game here in this upcoming season. So, you know, people are seeing, hey, this is more than a team. So now they're kind of rallying around them like they did with the Golden Knights now. So, you know, the excitement's building up. I think with the stadium, like I said, looking like an actual stadium, people are like, okay, this is an actual stadium. So, you know, the excitement levels are getting a little bit higher, seeing more commercials. And then, you know, once the final Oakland game went, and then now the Raiders have dropped Oakland off all their social media, you know, looking a little bit more real. So people are, you know, getting excited once they see that Las Vegas in front of the Raiders. I think, you know, the city's going to be, you know, all in on that.
You know, I know they have the Raiders Welcome Center. I've been there. Matter of fact, I checked it out, I think, a couple summers ago. But as far as that and other attractions go, is there anything that's kind of built up for anyone that goes to the city? Like, hey, by the way, this team is coming and this is what they have to offer. Is there anything that's been set up by the city of Las Vegas to welcome in fans of the Raiders?
Yeah, nothing specific. You mentioned the Welcome Center, which is a popular spot. But when you get in, you know, to the airport, they have the Raider Image kiosk so people can land and, you know, buy some Raiders gear right away. We got a couple more Raiders Image stores around, you know, throughout the valley, just some different areas of town. The stadium itself is, I think, the biggest draw. Every time I go over there, you know, to take some new photos or some videos, or, you know, I just pass by, there's always, you know, at least half a dozen people there parked on the side of the road, hopping out, taking pictures, filming, doing selfies and all that. So, you know, it's become an attraction in its own right, just the stadium itself, even before it opens. So, you know, it's showing that not only the locals are, you know, pretty excited by it, but a lot of the visiting people coming through here and the visitors, especially during CES, a lot of people are in front of it. So, you know, the whole region is, you know, pretty amped up to have this, you know, coming online here this year.
All right, there it was, Raider Nation. That was part one of my conversation with Mick Akers. Really good stuff right there, talking all things Allegiant Stadium, talking all things Las Vegas, what's going on with the Raiders, what you should expect if you go to Las Vegas, if you go to Sin City to check out the Raiders and see how they're welcoming in the Silver and Black. That was just part one. Part two of my conversation, really good stuff. That's coming up next in segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast.
You are Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Oakland Raiders, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, here we go. Jumping into segment number three of today's Locked On Raiders podcast on this Wednesday, January 15, 2020. Time to get into part two of my conversation with Mick Akers, at Mick Akers on Twitter. He's from the Las Vegas Review Journal, and he's talking all things Allegiant Stadium and everything going on with the Las Vegas Raiders, even though they're not Las Vegas until March 18th. But the city's getting prepared, so here's part two of that conversation. One of the selling points of the Raiders going to Vegas, the stadium being built, the team headquarters in Henderson, all that is about job opportunities as well. Those buildings would provide employment opportunities for locals. To the best of your knowledge, has that been able to happen for the people there in Las Vegas?
You know, I'm not sure exactly on the hiring right now. I know they've only advertised a few jobs, mainly, you know, kind of regarding around tickets and event sales and all that. So I would assume once the headquarters gets a little bit more close to finish, that's when we're going to start doing some of this hiring. I know several hundred people that they're expecting to, you know, that have work there, and then obviously a few thousand full-time and temp jobs at the stadium itself. So, you know, there's going to be plenty of job opportunities in all, you know, shapes and forms here. I'm just kind of tipping to that, you know, just waiting for any more opportunities to pop up online, because once, you know, they have a job, they advertise it online, So I would expect those jobs to kind of start popping up here, I'd say, in March and April for the most part.
Something I'm very excited about is coming up in April at the end of the month. As a matter of fact, the NFL draft is going to be held down on the Vegas Strip. Do you have any details at this point exactly how this is going to be executed, where it's going to be located at? You know, can fans get tickets to it? What do you know about the draft coming up in at the end of April?
Yeah, they still haven't announced the official location, but from all information that we've gotten over here, it's looking now, it's going to be at the Caesars Forum. It's this new convention space that Caesars is opening behind the Link, which is set to open in March. So it looks like it's going to be held there with the kind of the draft town that's going to spread out through the Link promenade, where it's a, you know, popular spot for tourists anyways. It has the big observation wheel. We can kind of go up and see the city and have a drink. But there's also a bunch of shops and some other activations there. So I think that area is going to be, you know, pretty popping during the whole draft time. Their dream scenario was to have it over the Bellagio fountains, but I think just, you know, logisticals and you know, just building the stage over and such, I think it just presented too much of an issue, so they just kind of went to plan B. I know they're looking at some road closures around there in the strip and some surrounding areas. They're supposed to release some details on that next week, so looks like we might get a little bit more information on that with this meeting coming up. But yeah, so far, you know, no official word of where it's going to be at, but it looks like all signs are pointing to the Caesars Forum convention space.
Just got a couple more questions for you, and one of them is, as far as the Golden Knights go, I mean, the Golden Knights were a team that was embraced by the city of Las Vegas. Obviously, they went to the Stanley Cup. That was awesome, and Las Vegas loves it. How much are the Raiders on the same level of the Golden Knights, or is it something that, like, hey, the Golden Knights are Las Vegas' own, and the Raiders are a team coming in from out of town?
I think, you know, that initially, you know, with the Knights, you know, magical run in their first season, and you know, the second year they made the playoffs. Not as far as the Stanley Cup, you know, they still showed, hey, we're not just a one season fluke. So a lot of people obviously, you know, rallied around them, and they're around here with the October 1 shooting. They played a big part of the community kind of healing with that. So they'll always have a special place in, you know, some of these locals' hearts here. But you know, just like I said, as the time has went on, I think it's starting to grow on people. We have, you know, the Nevada license plates with the Raiders logo on them. See a lot more of those popping up lately. Golden Knights have had a pretty big contingent of their own, obviously. But last time I checked, the Raiders are catching up with some ground on that. I'm probably going to do an update on that as well coming here pretty soon. But just, you know, like I said, seeing more Raider stuff around town, the stadium blowing up, the headquarters coming into form, Raiders making, you know, their name, you know, around here. Some of the players are going to be here next week for an appearance at one of the Ford dealerships, one of their other, you know, main sponsors here. So, you know, like I said, they're showing face. They've been doing it ever since they made the announcement of the relocation. So it's just kind of continuing all this hard work they're putting into it. And, you know, it looks like so far it's paying off.
Last question for you is, what is something that we need to look out for as far as fans go? What should we look out for? Date completed? Something needs to be done by a certain date? Is there something, you know, I mean, is there like an update that's going to be coming soon on the stadium? Or is there anything that fans out there need to be aware of?
Yeah, we'll have a full update on, you know, the whole stadium and the roof as well on Thursday at the Stadium Authority meeting.
Okay.
They're going to, you know, give up to date, you know, what's going on. Here's the next milestones we're going to be hitting here and such. Like I said, the roof will be one to keep an eye on. Obviously, it's been one of the main focuses since the fall. So, you know, just making sure that hits that May date. I think if it goes any further than that May date, I think that's when there might be some cause for concern there. So I think, you know, keeping your eyes up above, obviously on the roof, I think that's the main one with any kind of thing impacting the July 31 date.
You know, and I know that I said that was the last question, but if there is a problem with the stadium and it's not open on time for some unforeseen reason, is there a place in Las Vegas? Is there a stadium? Is there a location where you think, you know what, if they have to, they can start the season here?
Well, the only other stadium in town is Sam Boyd Stadium.
Ooh.
And, it's, you know, an outdated stadium,
right?
way on the outskirts of town, which is, you know, it's always been one of the biggest gripes about it for UNLV. They've been playing there, you know, for 30 something years.
Right.
So even the UNLV, I don't think they want to play there again, even though they might have to actually play a couple of games there this season after they have the initial game against Cal here in August. But yeah, you know, as far as that's the only place they would play. I think, you know, if for whatever reason they won't be able to play the first couple of games here, that they might end up I don't know, playing in Oakland again. I'm not sure. They haven't officially, you know, said, hey, we're not coming back. It's still up in the air. I know that Oakland Coliseum has their stadium authority has a meeting tomorrow as well, so I'm not sure if that's going to be mentioned on there or not. But, you know, I think they're kind of fully fledged, you know, ready to go. I think they fully believe July 31 date's going to be met. At least, you know, that's the substantial completion date. They're still going to be doing some finishing touches through October. Sorry about that. October. So it's, you know, obviously 100% complete, not for the July 31st date. October is going to be like when it's 100% complete, but that's always been the plan. So I don't know if there's some kind of things they can put off that, you know, that, hey, this isn't like a critical piece that we need to have complete for the July 31 date. I know they wanted to have, you know, have as close as possible to finish then. But, you know, like I said, if it comes down to it, I think they want to start the season here and have all the games they can have here. So I don't think they want to, you know, go back to Oakland after that whole, you know, the last game is kind of the special thing, even though right. Some of the fans took it the wrong way, obviously. But I think they fully are ready and prepared to, you know, play out the whole season here in Las Vegas.
Yeah, well, let's just hope that the roof is put on type. Let's just make sure that that's all good. That sounds great. The stadium looks good from a distance. That's Mick Akers right there. You can find him on the Las Vegas Review Journal and also on Twitter at Mick Akers. And you said that there's going to be a meeting coming up on Thursdays. So is that the next thing that fans and everybody should look out for on Twitter that you'll have an update from?
Yeah, I'll be there. I might have some, you know, stuff before that, but that's where the info always comes out, and we get the most access to, you know, some of the key players like Mark Bedane and Don Webb. So yeah, we'll have full coverage of that in LasVegasReviewJournal.com and all of our Twitter pages and all that as well.
Absolutely. That's good stuff right there. Again, Mick Akers from the Las Vegas Review Journal on Twitter at Mick Akers. And I definitely appreciate your time. I know you're the guy. You're there with the boots in the ground and you're always covering the stadium and everything else that's going on in Las Vegas. So thank you so much for your time, my man. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks for having me.
All right, there it was right there. That was part two of my conversation with Mick Akers. Hopefully that got you caught up on all the things going on with the Legion Stadium. Hopefully that cleared the air on any kind of conversation about the stadium, if it's going to be done on time, what you should expect in Las Vegas. Now, there's obviously some more updates that's going to be coming out. That's what I was asking Mick about, and you heard that he's got some more stuff coming up tomorrow. So just follow Mick Akers on Twitter if you're on Twitter, at Mick Akers. If not, check out the Las Vegas Review Journal. He's there. He's all over it like a glove, man, and he's got all the ins and outs of all things Las Vegas as far as the Raiders go, including Allegiant Stadium. Coming up, it ain't over, Raider Nation. No, that's right. I got disc number two, or episode number two of today's show. I got more news and notes coming up on the next side in segment number one, and then your calls in segment number two and three. That's coming up on the B side on disc number two. That's how we roll. You're gonna call me Q-Pac again. That's how we get down on the Locked On Raiders podcast.